Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Мені навічіскія комісські. I got off. You know, hell with it. I am not learning Russian for this here podcast.
Well,
I don't care what's going on. It's too damn hard. And they don't even, I mean, half their letters are backwards. What's up with that? That's just not a smart language.
And I've never seen any Russian comic books.
I have.
Really?
Actually have some in my collection. Yeah. There were two that a friend of mine brought back from Russian, or I should say from the Ukraine, you know, used to be part of Soviet Union. One of them was a Ultimate Spider-Man, but it's more like the comic and then a bunch of puzzles, and it had a little squirty thing that you could play with. And then the other one, it was like a, something you'd buy like
a little squirty thing, huh?
Yeah, little tiny web shooter, whatever.
could you make your own P tape with it?
Possibly. Depends on what you want to fill it with.
There you go.
And he also gave me a graphic novel that was in, based on a hero of the Ukraine that talks about the life of the hero. And, of course, since I don't read any of the language, it doesn't help. Although he did say his wife could translate. Unfortunately, I'm not sure where he's working now. Somebody I met on the road when I was traveling. So that was kind of cool. He actually was coming through Minneapolis because I think he was going Delta, and they drop him off in Minneapolis from Amsterdam, and then he just flew to where he lived. So he said sooner or later he'll get me the second part of it, but it was kind of cool. So just another comic from a country, from a different country.
The only Russian I remember was in Howard Chaykin's American Flag. He had a lot of Russian iconography at times. But that was more because, you know, it was during the Cold War, and they thought that the Cold War would continue in a way. Well, it has continued in a way, hasn't it?
I think we lost.
I you know who I think won?
Who's that?
Whoever makes movies with snotty Europeans as bad guys instead of Russians.
Yeah.
I miss the old days when, you know, you just, who's the bad guy? Russians.
Yeah. I mean, we milked the Nazis as far as we could. You know, I mean, they didn't even call it that in Secret Empire, which I did read, by the way.
No.
And we'll talk about that.
Did you enjoy it? Oh,
well. Let's talk about it now, I guess. Yeah, you know what? For all the pissing and moaning that fanboys did, I enjoyed the heck out of this story. I thought it was pretty well done. I don't think it was very accessible to somebody who doesn't know a lot of the Marvel Universe. I question as to why half the heroes are on the cover of the book, because none of those heroes appeared in any length. You know, you got Spider-Man front and center, you got Old Man Logan, you got I guess she is Captain Marvel, isn't she? The female Thor, Rocket Raccoon. None of these characters really played a prominent role in the Secret Empire. And I know they all had crossovers, because this is just the Secret Empire comics, plus what else did they do? The Zero issue, the Free Comic Book Day, and let's see, there was Secret Empire Omega, which was like the ending, and then they did tie into Captain America 25. This was not an omnibus. This was more of like a collected.
Yeah.
So all these characters were busy doing whatever they were doing. And, you know, this basically just dealt with the main thing going on. And, you know, part of me was like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, you know, I could see the Hydra Captain America was going for. And, you know, it's kind of like, I think that makes part of the why I enjoyed the story, because it wasn't just the evil Hydra. They were actually going for a plan. And, you know, his plan, of course, was, and of course, these are big spoilers for people who haven't read it yet. His plan was to, like, bring people back the way they were. You know, there were a number of people that were dead or whatever. And, of course, being Hydra, they, you know, if they had to wipe out an entire city of Inhumans, or, you know, put them all in camps, you know, that just was part of the goal. Eventually he would get to the point where he would take care of everything. And he never did. So, and of course, they left the guy alive. So, you know, although I did geek on the scene, you know, where they finally, where the our Captain America finally gets restored to the reality. I mean, it was a comic book moment.
Yes.
You know, it's where he turns away. I'm trying to find it here. I'm almost there. Yeah, you just turn the page and reality's changing. And the real Captain America is standing there and he is pissed.
Yep.
I did not read Pleasantville. So I had no idea what was going on with the cube, although I didn't know enough about what was going on. Again, this is one of those things, like, if you're not familiar with Marvel continuity and what's going on, you had no idea that the cube that Maria Hill used to make the Pleasantville / village was actually sentient. And so when she showed up, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Quick run to Wikipedia. Oh, that's right. That's who that is. So, so it's like almost any Marvel crossover event. You know, years from now, people are going to have to stop and think, hey, what was going on? But for all the people that had the tremendous butthurt for Hail Hydra and all that stuff, I don't see it. I thought it was a fun, well-written story. I feel sorry a little bit for the creators because fandom kind of gave it a collective before actually giving it a chance. And I guess I was satisfied with it. It's one of those I'll probably read, and if I get a chance to find the cheap crossovers. I mean, I do have The Amazing Spider-Man. I have the Doctor Strange. And I don't have many of the other crossovers that happened during that, because I kind of just skipped over those as I was reading them, because it was like, okay, this is going on with the crossover. I don't know what's going on. I collected them, but I didn't read them.
There's some... One of the things that somebody posted this week that really resonated with me was, I remember when being a fan of something meant you liked it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are, quote, fans of things. They used to like it maybe at some point in a certain way, but if it's not exactly like that, they're still hanging around, but they hate it. It's like people who really loved wrestling during the Attitude Era, and now we're mad that it's not, you know, 20 years ago and it's not still the Attitude Era. Well, if you look at the people from the Attitude Era, a lot of them are dead because that just, you know, tore up their bodies or their careers were shortened. You know, look at Triple H still wrestling while Stone Cold Steve Austin, he hasn't been in the ring for almost 20 years now because all the wear and tear on his neck, or Edge, all the wear
Edge,
on his
yeah.
body, or, you know, all these people.
Foley, it's a who's who, I mean.
You know, Nick Bockwinkel was wrestling into his 50s. Triple H is almost 50, and he's still wrestling. But you can't, nothing's going to stay the same. Today, they showed, hey, there's a new version of She-Ra coming out. And all the middle-aged fanboys lost their shit. She's not sexy. It's not aimed at you. It's aimed at little girls.
I actually thought, I didn't think sexy, but I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, that could work. You know, I want to wait and see what happens.
But that was the thing today. You know, there's always some sort of outrage, and today's outrage was, the new She-Ra isn't sexy. She's aimed at girls age 8 to 12.
The old She-Ra wasn't sexy.
Oh, but she had big cans, Joe.
Yeah, but still.
And it's...
Maybe I'm just spoiled by the all the stuff I can get for free on the interwebs, but yeah. I mean, I looked at that, and I looked at the new one and the older one, and I thought, okay, yeah, make it younger, make it more appealing. I said, I wonder, though, will they have any He-Man crossovers? Because it'd be interesting to see if they have that. Or if they'll allude to it, or if it'll just be its own.
I know nothing about those licensed characters, but I just, it's, why does everything have to appeal to you? Why does everything have to be aimed at you? There are some, when you were a kid, did they aim the stuff at kids, at guys in their 40s and 50s? No. Aimed it at kids. Captain Caveman was not aimed at anybody above the age of 12. Because if you watch it over the age of 12, you go, damn, this is terrible. But when you're 7, it's awesome. But I've been beating that horse long enough, haven't I,
George? But you got to admit, minute for minute, there isn't a finer revival or reunion on the planet than Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
I never watched it.
Oh, dude. Did you ever watch Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
You should watch it. I mean, the weird thing about it is there's no laugh track. And it's funny. And it's what's cool about it is that it actually resolves something that was never resolved in the original show.
Why Gilligan
and the fact
was always sabotaging
it,
everything?
They got rescued, hence the name of the program.
Right.
And other than the fact that, was her name? Tina Louise didn't want to come back. It was kind of fun that they revisited the characters and they actually resolved them. Although, they put them back on the island again.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we all know what happened afterwards. They made a sitcom for a 70s type show in the next movie that they got rescued.
No, so, I thought the next movie was when the Harlem Globetrotters got stranded.
That's
there.
The third one.
Oh.
Because you remember,
that's
at
the only one
from
I've
Gilligan's
seen.
Island, they end up back on the island.
Right.
And, of course, it's Gilligan's fault. And the weird thing is they find out because there's a board that happens to say Minnow 1 on it. You know, that tells them they're back where they were. When they try the second time to get off the island, Gilligan foils it, but they shoot something high in the air that the Coast Guard finds because they're looking for them again. This time, Thurston Howell III, who he was in poor health, the actor, Jim Horton, he decides to turn this island into a retreat.
I thought it was Jim Backus.
Backus, you're right. Jim Backus. And the thing was, you don't see much of him, but then what happens is it ends up being a lot like Love Boat Fantasy Island, where a bunch of guest stars come on and they all have their own plots and they all have things that they have to interact with the islanders. And so that's how Gilligan's Island is ultimately resolved. Thurston Howell III turns it into a resort. So now, and then the third one was, I guess, with the Harlem Globetrotter robots meets Kiss, Phantom of the Park.
Wait,
$6 million
Kiss was on that one? I don't remember that.
It might have been.
Now
I'm mixing
watch it again.
Up. See, I'm telling you, minute for minute, the best revival. And I think, in my mind, that was the first, because that was like a TV movie event, and it actually got mainstream press, because it was probably a slow news day, because they were showing things where they gave the characters, they had the actors like they were in a parade and giving them a ticker tape parade for being rescued and whatever. So it was a fun movie. Fortunately, I think you can find it on the YouTubes, or if you're lucky, find it in like a dollar bin at Walmart. Speaking of Walmart, you heard the news, right, about all those DC things we've been trying to pick up?
No, I did not. There's news?
They're going back to press with them.
Oh, good.
Well, all you idiots that bought them for $50 a piece for a set of four, why?
Well,
they're just going to keep doing it.
Well, they'll be second printings. First printings are always...
No, I don't think they're going to put printing in them.
Uh-oh.
They're just
going to...
I didn't see anything in any, and I may be wrong, but I didn't see anything in the news articles about that they're going back to press or they're keep printing them. So I don't think it's a matter of first printing, second printing, third printing. I don't think they're going to put printing in them at all. So I may be wrong. Like I said, I haven't visited a local Walmart, although tomorrow I may do it, run around and just see if I can, you know, find some of these things. Which are the ones you're missing still?
I got Teen Titans off the eBay for, I think it was $7.
Okay.
Superman.
Okay, so if I can find it, I'll text you that I got it. But yeah, don't knock yourself out on the eBays because they're still printing them. And I was actually going to make a comment about that, which is a moot point now, because, I mean, sure, Walmart's going to go, oh, my God, look at these sold out. And I said, what, they're selling the collectors. They're not getting to the people we want them to get to. But, again, this is Walmart. They're like, keep printing them. We'll put them out.
Yeah.
So, eventually, it'll be interesting to see, will they get to a point where the next edition comes out and people aren't snapping them up like crazy and putting them on the eBays. So, I got to see if... It'll be interesting if Walmart reports or DC reports how these things sell once all the buzz slows down.
Well, I know that I'm excited about the entire run, but then I like those. CrossGen, they did, I forget the name of it, but they would put out a trade paperback that, okay, here's all, if you bought the two monthly trade paperbacks, you got all of their comics for, like, the first month of CrossGen was around, the second month CrossGen was around, and so on. And the sad thing is, it only lasted like about 5 or 6 months. But that's CrossGen, because when CrossGen first started, it was like, here's a, I forget however many, 10, 12 books. And I was like, I am not buying 12 books to jump into a new universe. But if it's, hey, we're going to put all of them in these trade paperbacks, you could get the whole thing. It was, oh, well, then I'll try it. And I don't think the George Perez comic ever did come out from CrossGen. But
I don't remember. I do know that Tim from Granite City donated a bunch that we had at the charity table for the last couple of years. And, of course, if you're looking to donate some stuff for the charity table, normally I would tell you to bring it to the MCBA Fall Comic-Con. October 6th, 2018, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, the one-day wonder. Advanced tickets go on sale September 1st, mcbacomiccons.com. And if you hold on half a second, there was an announcement on their board.
Ooh.
I know. I was actually paying attention to it. Let's see. Application for creator spaces at the MCBA Fall Con will open Tuesday the 17th. So as this podcast here drops, you're a week late, fanboy. And they have a link right to it. mcbacomiccons.com/become/a/guest/creator. So, and of course, the big thing, of course, is their one-day show is a smaller venue, and they're going to have limited space. It'll fill up fast. I know a lot of people get hurt because they can't get in it, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. And you know what? I may not even be going to it.
I heard. Of course, you said it last week, and I also have to listen to the podcast probably about two times because I have to go through and edit, and then I have to go through and clean up the edit, and then I put it out. That's why, you know, it's by the time it's Monday morning, I am so sick of the podcast that I don't want to ever listen to that one again.
Yeah.
Tired.
And I think I'm in like year three of listening. You know, when I get a chance, I just load up an old one and, you know, doing something in the background, kind of listen to it, see if there's, you know, I know there's things we said, well, we'll get back to that. We'll find that question. And we never did.
How were we back then? Because that was 5 years ago.
You know,
how were we 5 years
actually,
ago?
We're actually pretty much the same. I mean, you can listen to the early episodes and you still got the same hijinks and goofiness and whatnot that you have now. It's not like, you know, going back and watching the first season of Star Trek Next Gen and going, ew.
So we were just as terrible character now as we were then.
Well, that's another way to put it, yeah. But it's funny because we had sequences that we are... you know, bits we do back then that we just don't do. Like, I don't have a lot of tales from the shop.
Well, we've gone through a lot of them, but they come up now and then.
So I may,
at the home,
I may they, have
they,
a...
They come up now and then. I know that the Minnesota State Fair has put up their list of foods they're offering.
Yeah. Not that I care.
We could talk about it next week because we have a special guest next week.
Who probably is used to goofy foods because she's not a non-native. She's like you, a transplant.
Yes. And I talked to my parents earlier today, and Boy, am I glad that I transplanted to Minnesota rather than Missouri, because, Missouri, whoa. They would talk about my siblings in Missouri, and all I could think is, I really dodged a bullet. But that's not why we're here.
No, not really.
We're here to talk about what comics are in your future.
There are. Yeah, well, this show anyways.
In the year 2000.
2000. I need a new notebook. My notebook that I use to write everything that I want to buy is almost full, because what I do is I have to, because some comics don't come out monthly. I'm looking at almost everything that's not DC or Marvel. And I have to go back, like, did I order issue 2 of that? No, I didn't order issue 1, but I ordered issue 3. Okay, well, don't order issue 3. Buy the graphic novel.
So, do you want to start us off, or do you want me to start us off? How do we want to do this?
Well, I could start out. I mean, there's a couple things that I draw attention to. If you are a fan of Stranger Things, the Netflix series, apparently there is a series starting at Dark Horse that you should probably want to get in on, because if you know, I know the fans of Buffy really enjoyed the continuation of Buffy. So this particular one, the storyline deals with, I can't remember the name of the kid.
That's
Alive. Did you ever watch any of this?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm okay. Hopefully behind. Joe, over the weekend, I started watching the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Oof. Well, in the
4 months old.
In the when probably one of the weirdest casting of ever in Stranger Things, the first season, one of the four kids disappears, and we're not quite sure what happens to him. The comic deals with what happens to him. Will Byers gets into this dimension of decay and destruction, where they eventually call the Upside Down, and he must use his wits and resolve to survive, which is pretty heady considering the kid is supposed to be, what, 12, 13? What's fun, of course, about Stranger Things is that it takes place in the 80s. So you and me, Corey, we're going to watch it and go, oh, my God, I remember doing that. I remember dial phones, video games. So that's one that I point out. And, of course, if you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000,
yes,
which you know we are here, they are taking the riffing hilarity of MST 3000, or I'm sorry, 3K, I got to learn to say it right, and Kinga Forrester pairs her Kinga Chrome liquid medium with her latest invention, the Bubulet R, which thrusts them, our heroes, of course, John, Crow, and Tom, into the 2D world of public domain comics with riffing as their only defense. And if that doesn't get you excited, well, you are not either a comic fan or a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan. So there are a couple series coming out of Dark Horse that I got to decide, do I want to buy right away, or do I want to wait for the inevitable graphic novel? Or try to get the variant cover, because I guess artist Steve Vance is doing the variant cover for the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Other stuff at Dark Horse that I'm excited about, Halo, one of the few video games that I really, really enjoy, is getting the Dark Horse Omnibus treatment. Now, these aren't like the Marvel and DC Omnibuses, where it's a great big hardcover book of 1,000 pages or more. Dark Horses are more trade paperback size. They're a little smaller than a comic, but they run about 400 to 500 pages. They're going to start doing Halo, all the Halo comics in Omnibuses, which they are not starting with the Marvel Halo books, because most people don't even remember that Marvel put out Halo comics, but they put out a hardcover, an original hardcover, and then some miniseries that didn't do very well, and that were horribly, horribly delayed because the licensor took forever to approve and get back to them. but it's now been at Dark Horse for a while. Dark Horse is collecting all of their stuff. And oddly enough, the Conan omnibuses are still going with book number 7. And we'll get to why that is strange when we get to Marvel. There is also a Colossal King Conan, which is where they take the King Conan series that was written by Tim Truman. And this is pretty much, their omnibuses are called Colossal. And this is a $100 book, 672 pages. I like it, but I don't like it that much. Tim Truman didn't draw it, he wrote it. Now, if Tim Truman would have drawn those 672 pages, I'd be on that like white on rice. I'd be on that like Oprah on a canned ham. I'd be on that like evil Dave Letterman is on the free chips at the Howard Stern show. The Creepy Archives. Creepy Archive number 27 reprints 128 through 133. So they've only got about... I think 2 or 3 more volumes left, and then they're all done with that one. That's kind of it that's jumping out at me from Dark Horse. I'm still very excited about the Seed. Is it Seed or Seeds?
I think it's Seeds with an S.
And that's Ann Nesenti and David Aja. And I am going to try to get Ann Nesenti in an interview, Joe. That's how excited about this book I am.
Now, that's some solid excitement, folks.
And because I've not watched the Stranger Things yet, I'm probably going to wait till that's a trade and I've watched it.
Yeah, you definitely. I don't think it'll make much sense. I mean, it might, but it's kind of like coming into a middle, because this is a filler story. During the original series, we don't know what happens to this character or even if he's alive.
And something I found interesting, this was announced in Entertainment Weekly. Up in their front section. So Dark Horse really got a lot of bang for their buck out of this one. Image!
I got nothing special out of Image.
Oh, I had a few.
I mean, I the big one is, of course, Monstrous Volume 3. Or Volume 3, I guess, which I was... raving on when I read volumes 1 and 2, as in, how did I miss this? And of course, the regular series I buy, Clips, Hey Kids, It's Comics from Howard Chaykin, Ice Cream Man, Oblivion Song, which I'm enjoying. That's the new one that Kirkman's doing. And of course, Savage Dragon.
Bully Wars looks really exciting to me because it's Scotty Young. Love me some Scotty Young. Pia Guerrera, who drew Why the Last Man, has a book coming out of her most recent editorial cartoons. Interested in that, but if you turn the page, My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. The newest Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips book. It's an original graphic novel. It's short, 72 pages, but still... It's Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. I will buy anything they do, man. Anything they do. I am all about that. And really, other than that, it's, for me, the same. It's the usual suspects. Paper Girls, Motor Crush, Walking Dead, Mage, trying to see if there's anything else that jumps out. Nothing else really jumps out, except I noticed that Mark Miller is no longer writing Kick-Ass. And he's not writing Hit Girl. So he has passed those off. And what is it? The Magic Order. I did not realize this was going to be such a big hit. This was like the number 2 book of the month. That's the first of the Mark Miller Netflix comics. And it's written by Mark Miller, drawn by Olivier Coppiel. So that's one that, hey, I'm going to pick that up as a trade. I'm not going to go out of my way to get that new. But very, very impressive how many they shipped to the first issue.
And let's see who is next. Let's see.
IDW.
All right. IDW, Star Trek versus Transformers, and it's not just any Star Trek, Joe. It's Star Trek animated.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that one down as a maybe because I might buy it as a graphic novel. But I got a lot of maybes on the list because this looks to be a more expensive month. A lot of new series starting that I'm excited about, and of course I've still got to keep my budget. But that was one of them.
Batman and the Mats.
That's the other one I definitely am going to get.
I am getting that one, but again, I'm going to get it as a trade. This is the first Max story for 20 years. So that really surprised me. I was very surprised that Sam Keith came back to the Max. I know that IDW just reprinted it, but in reprinting it, they also cleaned up the film and did some work on the coloring. They basically did I forget what they called it, but they went through and digitized everything, made it look better so that the trade paperbacks are the best that art has ever looked. And what else did they have? Oh, they have the EC artist editions again. So if you really loved me, if you really, really loved me,
if you love me,
you'd buy me all four of those books.
Yes.
I doubt they will, but on the page opposite of that is James Cameron's Abyss Artisan Edition. And that kind of really is like, really? They're going to reprint the Dark Horse adaptation of the movie The Abyss? Yeah, it's Mike Kaluta, but I remember reading that and not really being impressed.
Did you like the movie?
The movie was okay, but it was, to me, it was painfully clear when they ran out of money.
Well, then the question was, did you get the non-cut edition or the theater edition?
I've watched both.
Me too.
Nothing from Yo Books that I could see. So, Craig, Yo.
Yo.
I'm willing to give you money, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. He said, settle down, you.
He did. He actually told me to calm down.
Yes.
When I told him, hey, I bought all your stuff. You can start putting out more.
Get cracking. Well, let's jump into DC.
Okay. First off, I talked a little about this, I think it was last week, Heroes in Crisis, or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember which. This is a big crossover written by Tom King. And all you had to say to me was written by Tom King. I'm there. Let's see. I'll read what it says here. There's a new kind of crisis threatening the heroes of the DC Universe, ripped from real-world headlines by CIA operative-turned-comics writer Tom King. How does a superhero handle PTSD? Welcome to Sanctuary, an ultra-secret hospital for superheroes who've been traumatized by crime-fighting and cosmic combat. But something goes inexplicably wrong when many patients wind up dead, and two well-known operators are the prime suspects, Harley Quinn and Booster Gold. And it's up to DC's trinity of superheroes, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman to investigate, but can they get the job done in the face of overwhelming opposition? I want to read this now.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I have a feeling this will be one of those I'll buy, and then I'll buy the paperback, and then eventually I will buy the omnibus of it. So, DC, you want to save some money, just make an omnibus right away. Save me money.
They don't want to save you money. They want all your money. Nothing really exciting jumped out about new stuff. It seems like they're still kind of just, DC's kind of doing what they're doing.
I did see on the very next page after the Heroes in Crisis, DC's has something called a Black Label, which is edgy and provocative standalone stories. And the first one they're doing is Batman Damned, written by Brian, sorry I slaughtered your name, Azzarello.
Azzarello.
Hey, I got it right. Oh, hang on, I got to write that in the calendar. Got one right. And art by Lee Bermigio. Okay, got one wrong. So, and this looks to be a prestige three-part series. Again, I don't know if I'm going to buy I want to read it. I don't know if I'm going to buy it in the prestige format or maybe wait and pick it up in the graphic novel form. This month also starts the...
By the way, the first of the DC Black Label books was actually retroactively named a Black Label book, and it's available as a trade paperback, and that's Batman White Knight by Sean Murphy. So,
if you are excited about...
It was just DC. Now it's DC Black Label.
And, of course, Vertigo's back after seemingly being choked to death, and it's coming out with two of the books in the Sandman universe. The first one is The Dreaming, and this a lot of this comes out of the Sandman universe one-shot that was solicited last month. And, of course, this one, they're talking about The Dreaming. It looks like they're going to be working with Lucian, the librarian. And, of course, there's Dora the Monstrous, finds an opportunity in madness. So the other one, again, these are ones I'll probably give a try. The House of Whispers, which is a new house that's popped up. The House of Dahomey, Houseboat of Zero Frida, where the souls of the voodoo followers go when they sleep. And you know something's going to happen, otherwise it wouldn't be in a book. So so they're doing what? Four out of that one, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so the first two are out, and I'll be looking at that. Other than that, I didn't see anything that was like, oh my God, I got to pick it up. And even in the books, they're not pushing a lot of books that I feel I got to pick up.
Well, as there's the Monster Society of Evil.
Yeah, I've got a version of that.
You
so and
I have it, but this was, if you ever want to know what the Golden Age Captain Marvel was like, this is probably the best way to get an idea. This was a serial they did in Wiz Comics. And back then, movie serials were big, but continued comics were not that big. They didn't happen that much because they just didn't do it. But in Captain Marvel, they started a story that lasted for 2 years. It went from Captain Marvel Adventures 22 to 46, and they on the cover page, they would have it as if it was the new episode of a serial.
And what's interesting as I'm reading it, you know, we know who Mr. Mind is, but when they were reading it, you didn't, because Mr. Mind would be in the corners of the artwork, and, you know, you and I know from, you know, who the hell Mr. Mind is, so you're like, oh my God, there he is! But I'm wondering if readers back then realized how significant this little green worm was. Eventually they were, because they kind of highlighted this worm. But it was just, it was real kind of just fun to read. And I know there was some historically inappropriate items in this, and I don't know if they're going to clean it up or if they're just going to let it be. And they are adding essays. I guess PC Hammerlinch is a Fawcett Comics expert, and they got Michael Yuslan, who is a film producer and comic historian. They'll be putting in some new essays talking about the Golden Age of comics, so maybe they'll address some of that there, or maybe they'll delete them. I really don't know. We'll find out, I guess, when they do publish them.
One of the things that is always kind of hard with reprinting older stuff, especially the stuff aimed at kids, and, you know, even cartoons, the Warner Brothers cartoons, there was the censored 13 that they couldn't show anymore because they were just too racist. And, you know, we've talked a lot about how the racism in old comics, the Young Allies, one of the characters was black, and his name was Whitewash, and his power was he could eat a watermelon faster than anybody in the world. And that was just what was done in entertainment. I was watching the Thin Man movies, which are excellent movies, but then every so often, there's a Step and Fetch It character who has to, oh, he freaks out because it's something spooky. And that was just kind of one of the comedy tropes that was there. And on Turner Classic Movies, they will, before and after the movie, they'll say, by the way, here's this. This was what was entertaining at the time, even though now we know better. There was an idea floated that Warner Brothers looked at. And even if you buy the Warner Brothers, what is it, the Golden Collection, that has most of the cartoons, they'll have disclaimers for some of them saying these were based on racial thoughts at the time. We do not approve of this, blah, blah, blah. But the 13 that they don't show anymore, there was a plan to have Leonard Maltin introduce each of them to explain the cultural references and why this was considered okay at the time, and, you know, kind of put them in their context. So I hope the essays in Monster Society of Evil do that as well, because, you know, we've talked even Will Eisner. Boy, those early stories with Ebony, those sections are hard to read because it's like, wow, was he wearing a KKK hood when he drew it? But if you go back to older entertainment, the racial stereotypes were really a big part of that. And I think it's important to put them in context, but it's also a bad idea to completely remove them. Because the whole idea of, like, Fu Manchu, the entire idea of the character was the Yellow Peril, which was, America had all these Chinese immigrants coming in, and their culture was so different that we demonized them and made them, you know, in drawings, they looked like aliens. It's just, it's a part of history, and it's not a good part of history, but it's there. Have I lectured enough?
I was going to say that apparently 8 of the censored 11 were actually shown on, I believe it was when they were doing a...
they did an A to Z, where they showed all the cartoons.
And they did it like at 3 in the morning, and there were 3 that they did not show. And they did say Warner Brothers was talking about doing an uncut DVD through the Warner Archive program. That was back in 2011.
It's still not nothing. Out.
Yeah. Although, oddly enough, if you look at some of the low-cost DVD and VHS collections over the last 30 years, you can find these. You can find a lot of these cartoons. So they're out there. They're just not in any type of sit down and watch them. Well, they might be on YouTube for all I know.
Yeah, they might be on YouTube. It's probably not something that Warner Brothers is going to police really hard, because they're not going to make any money off them.
Certainly not like Disney and Song of the South.
I'm amazed that they haven't put that out with disclaimers and stuff, because I know that it's even been put out on DVD in Japan. Because there for the longest time...
I think Europe got a version too, I thought.
The collectors were really after the Japanese DVD of that. I've never seen it.
Nope, I haven't either. I've seen bits and pieces. I know they ran the cartoon on Disney, because I do remember seeing the Tar Baby cartoon, and they've done the songs.
Yep.
But the actual full movie.
Well, and it's got one of Disney's most classic songs, Zippity Doodah.
Oh, yeah.
So
maybe they'll show up in Marvel, because now that Marvel owns, or Disney owns Marvel, it could happen.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
I wouldn't either. Although, guess who's coming back?
Who?
Wolverine.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wait. He was dead?
He was.
I didn't even know he was sick.
Oh, no. He was covered with adamantium, and he was sick beforehand. You were not reading your Marvels, were you?
I didn't keep up on Wolverine.
No, I most of the X-Men are pretty much gone for me. But Yeah, there's a five-issue series, Return of Wolverine, and I'm trying to find the... well, they talk about the variant covers. They show a lot of the art. Apparently, it's so cool, they don't even bother talking about the story.
Well,
so,
they don't have to.
No, he's back.
Wolverine's back. Buy it.
He's back. That's all you have to know. There's another one-shot, Thanos Legacy. And I have that as a question because I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's... I read the last Thanos series, and I did enjoy it. I did enjoy the Jim Starlin graphic novels, of which I believe one is out so far. I just don't know if I want to jump in another Thanos series.
Well, and this ties in with the big crossover, the Infinity Wars crossover.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of crossovers, too. Because there's like the Infinity Soldier Supreme and there's Iron Hammer and whatever. I'll wait for the Omnibus. That'll be my new thing. I'll wait for the Omnibus.
You skipped over the one comic that I'm highly recommending to people.
Well, because Marvel doesn't have theirs in alphabetical order, I am flipping desperately through it to see if maybe it's what the same one that I like. But go
Could
ahead.
You please go to page 8?
Oh. C98.
Franklin Richards, A Fantastic Year by Chris Iliopoulos. 104 pages. It reprints all of the Franklin Richards one-shots. These comics are fantastic. They're so much fun. They're so funny. Kids, they're aimed at kids, but they're still funny enough for adults. They play with the Marvel Universe, and I adore these books when they came out, and the fact that they're all now going to be in one big comic makes me very, very happy. This is another one of those where if you don't like it, you don't like comics.
Oh, and I found the one I was paging for, Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, that looks really cool.
It's springing out of the events of Infinity Wars, but they've got Angela, Valkyrie, Scourge, Throg.
The Frog of Thunder.
Destroyer. And they are off to go after Nebula. So I'm kind of like, oh, that could be fun. Or not. I don't know. What do I know?
On the next page, Iceman has been uncancelled.
Ooh.
They had an Iceman series. It ran for a very short time. Didn't sell well in comic shops. But I guess the trade paperback sold really, really well, so they've brought the comic back. I haven't seen that happen in a while. There was another one that they brought back, but I can't remember what one it is. Or it's coming back next month. So, the trade paperbacks, those sales, they work.
The other one that I love looking at is the True Believer books.
Yes.
Because what they do is they go through and they pick out... Daredevil this month?
It's Marvel Knights. So it's okay. Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and The Punisher and Black Widow.
Yeah, because I just read True Believers. I got Daredevil 1, Punisher's first, the first Iron Fist, first Power Man Iron Fist. I think it's first Power Man.
No, and then first Hellcat. Luke Cage Hero for Hire before he was Power Man.
And then first Hellcat Avengers. And, you know, these are all a buck. So, you know, that's good reading for a buck. That's almost as much fun as the old 100 pagers, where they'd actually do all those. And now we get to the ever-present Omnibus. They're offering two this month. I'm not really interested in the Conan the Barbarian one.
I am, and I want to mention that. Marvel has announced the first Conan thing that they're putting out, while Dark Horse still has the license, because Dark Horse still has Conan books they're putting out, but there's Conan the Barbarian. When is it shipping?
January 2019.
I believe 2019. You looked in the Marvel announced. Where is it here? They don't have it in here, but if you go online, it's coming out the first Wednesday in January.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, we got the rights. Boom, there you go, kids.
It's all yours. And
it reprints,
what do they got there?
What, the first...
First
26 issues. So it's basically all the Barry Windsor Smith stuff. Because it also has stuff from Conan Classic, from Savage Tales, which is the famous Red Nails story. There's the
Chambers of Darkness
Chamber
4.
Chamber of Darkness number 4, which was kind of a Conan tryout. And we talked a little about it last month. But this stuff is like crack. This stuff is so good. Barry Windsor Smith, he kind of starts as a Kirby clone, but within, you know, within 6-7 months, he had developed the style that people know, and it's just amazing. Just some amazing, amazing comics. If you have never read the first, I would say, 3 to 5 years of Conan, there's a reason why Conan was the most popular comic at Marvel in the mid-70s. It was their best stuff, by far. You've also got Gil Kane and John Buscema, both of which were happy not to draw superheroes, so they knocked themselves out on this stuff, too.
And I say that I'm passing it up, not because I don't want it. I just probably can't afford it. Because there's also the Guardians of the Galaxy Tomorrow's Heroes Omnibus, which takes the original Guardians, the ones, you know, before the raccoon and all that stuff, and reprints all their stuff from the first appearance of Marvel Superheroes 18, goes to Marvel 2-in-1, Giant Size Defenders, Marvel Presents, Thor Annual, The Avengers, I imagine the Korvac Saga, into Ms. Marvel, and then Marvel Team Up, where apparently they went back to their own future.
Yeah, this reprints everything up to when they got their own series.
Yeah, and hopefully the series will be next, because that was a fun series. And for me, it's a question of which one of those do I want to buy. Plus, they've got a lot of other good books here. I mean, I was looking in the Marvel Knights. They got the Black Widow Complete Collection. There's
well, I know you want the Ben Reilly Omnibus.
I might. And there's the Hunt for Wolverine hardcover, where they take the series that predates the Return of Wolverine and puts it all in one hardcover. Another one I'm thinking about, the Mutant X trade paperback, volume 1. I got to think about it, because I think I have this collection somewhere in my vast accumulation of crap. Because it's one of those that I read and then I stopped reading, but I kept collecting. And the whole deal is everybody thinks Havoc's dead. No, he's on an alternate reality, dealing with being in an alternate reality. And it's a lot of fun. They got the Exiles 1, and I have Darkhold, which I think
they're
is
doing
the Avengers.
Two Darkhold books.
First is
reprinting the Darkhold series, which was a series featuring the supporting characters from Tomb of Dracula, and then all of the Darkhold stories that led up to it. And it's sold as Avengers Doctor Strange. But it's all of the stories about Darkhold, and I remember they used that because Jim Shooter wanted to get rid of all the vampires. He didn't want vampires in Marvel Comics anymore. So Roger Stern, being a good soldier, did the story where Doctor Strange destroys all the vampires.
And I remember that story. No, they got better. But this was actually some good reading, and I know I've had them all in my collection, and I may have purged them. So these are, again, a couple more books that I'm looking at. I might just have to give up and just go read them online, you know? Because there's always something coming up. Like, there's the second Quasar. There's the first West Coast Avenger epic, How the West Was Won. And then the Exiles I mentioned earlier, number one new printing. Just all these series that I read. And, you know, I remember fondly, and it's like it'd be nice to have it in book form, because sometimes, like I did with Secret Empire, it's just nice to sit down and read it all at once rather than torturing yourself over 9 months as you're waiting for the next issue to come out.
I'd also like to point out one they're doing a new printing on, Avengers Forever.
Oh, yeah.
This came out around the same time that Kurt Busiek had taken over the Avengers. This was a 12-part miniseries where Avengers were taken from different times and had to deal with a time-spanning cosmic crisis. And basically what it was Kurt Busiek went through and cleaned up Avengers continuity. And when you say that, you could just feel your eyes starting to close and your head starting to nod. But he did it in such a way that it was a very entertaining story, which is really rare for these continuity cleanup books. And it came across as a great story that just happened to fill in all the continuity holes. And I don't know if they'll reprint it in this version, but I know in the comic, in the back, there would be footnotes for, okay, this is from this issue, this from this issue, this from this issue, this from here. So any continuity screw up in the Avengers, this is where it got fixed.
Yeah, Marvel's doing it to me this month.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out X-Men Grand Design. This is the second book, and it basically is the new X-Men. And the first book, Grand Design, was the original X-Men. It went through and sort of said, okay, everything that happened in the X-Men was one story. And he cleaned up and tied up all the threads and made it into one story. And he's doing the same thing in this one. It's being published Treasury size, which is why it's more expensive than it would have been normally. But Ed Piskor, who does Hip Hop Family Tree, doing the same thing with Marvel continuity, and if it's half as good as the first one, I'm excited. And now we go to, let's see, we did IDW, did we do Boom?
I didn't have anything out of Boom. Except the Thrilling Adventure Hour number 3, which I'm buying as a comic series.
They're doing a comic of Clueless, and all I can think is, wow, a comic based on a movie aimed at teenage girls that's 20 years old.
Did you get invited to Kitty and Colossus's wedding?
Yes, I did.
Now, did you see what happened at the end of it?
Yes, I did.
Now, do we want to announce it to everybody? Now we know what the secret classified X-Men book was?
You could announce it. I read it and was like, wow, that was forced.
Yeah. What are they calling it? Mr. and Mrs. Gambit? I don't remember.
Mr. and Mrs. X.
Yeah.
Rogue got married after almost 20 years of hating each other.
Yes.
So that'll work.
Yes. Until somebody comes along and says, well, I don't like my heroes married. What's Mephistopheles doing?
You haven't read Amazing Spider-Man number 1, have you?
Can he bang? I haven't got it yet.
Go read that. Go read that.
I just got 801. I haven't gotten one. I'll get it in my next shipment. Just bang on the wall. Abstract Studios has the next volume of Strangers in Paradise, Volume 1, The Chase, which I believe... It doesn't say what it covers, but you know it's been coming out as monthly books, and this is, I believe, the first collection of them. So I'll probably be picking that up.
Oh, what's the Cerebus book called this month?
Cerebus on Infinite Cerebi.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, if you want the remastered edition of High Society, they have it right below it, so
which
you can order that.
Which is the greatest Marx Brothers movie never filmed.
Yeah,
I adore High Society so much. It is a perfect book. The art is amazing. The lettering is fantastic. The story blew me away. It's funny. It's serious. It's funny. It's deep. It's philosophical. It's why I got hooked on Cerebus. We won't talk about what happened after issue 200.
No. Our good buddies... Mark Stegbauer and Jason Millett and Steve Bryant, they got a Ghoul Scouts Night of the Unliving Undead trade paperback in, whose section is that?
Amazing.
Action Lab.
Action Lab. Yeah, that's amazing. Right. Action Lab. Yep,
yep. Action Lab. Amazing. So that's worth picking up. I picked it up as the comic, so I won't be picking it up. If you didn't, you should.
Archie's got a new miniseries. I did not realize, because they didn't announce it ahead of time, that the Mark Waid series is wrapping up, and a new Archie series in that same vein will be taking place after Archie 1941 by Mark Waid and Brian Augustin, art by Peter Krause. So our old buddy Peter Krause is going to be doing an Archie miniseries set in 1941. Very
now,
excited
if you are...
about that. He's been posting some of the art on his fire-breathing Twitter machine, and it looks beautiful.
If you are an Avatar Press fan, they're doing their Ultra sale again, where they're clearing out their volumes at $5.99 each.
And last time it series. Was Gravel, and I forget the other one. This time it looks like it's almost everything. It's like, okay, yeah. There's the Alan Moore trade paperback that he actually wrote. So one thing he did for Avatar that he actually wrote. The rest is just, oh, we got this Alan Moore short story, and we're going to adapt it. But, all of it. God is Dead, which was by Jonathan Hickman.
I'm going to pick up the Extinction Parade. That's the one I picked up the Free Comic Book Day and then raved about it and picked up Volume 1 and read it, and it was awesome, and then they got two volumes of it. The gist is it's like a World War Z. I mean, it's the author of World War Z, Max Brooks. And what's happening is the vampires are laughing that the zombies are going free for all over the humans until somebody realizes, hey, if they kill off all the humans, that's our lifeblood. So now it becomes vampires versus zombies. And it's three species in Mortal Kombat. I enjoyed the heck out of these. I figure for $5.99, you might find something in these books that that surprises you. You know, we've talked in the past how it's like based on something that Alan Moore crapped out on a napkin. But, you know, for $5.99. And, of course, also part of that series, but separate, if you go Boundless, they have Lady Death stuff, and they're blowing the Lady Death stuff out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At $5.99. Yeah, it's it was almost, I don't know what the deal was, because Lady Death is, I think there is a guy who owns it, and he publishes stuff under Coffin. But for a while, Avatar, through Boundless imprint, had the rights to do Lady Death, and they did all sorts of different series and variant covers and that. Diamond blew out the variant covers years ago. I remember walking into one of the Hot Comics, and there was every single variant cover. And it must have been a good blowout, because they were selling them all a buck a piece. So if you go forward to Boundless, you'll see they have their Ultra Sale going. Same thing, $5.99 each. They got one hardcover. Actually, they got all their hardcovers at $12.99 if you're a hardcover fan. So a couple places to check out. You know, usually when we find out things that they're discounting, it's because they're doing it on the Amazons or they're doing it specifically for comic retailers. Well, here's your chance to stock up on some fun stuff. See if you find something you like.
I also want to point out, under Ballantine Books, they're going to start doing Garfield the complete works. And they start with Volume 1, 1978 and 79. And if you take a look, Garfield looks very, very different. The strip was very different for the first few years.
And it was funny. It was funny. It was original. I mean, Jim Davis drew it. I remember buying these books. Not only did my kids read the, remember they had that weird format size?
Yeah.
It was like, they read all those. And I read the early ones before he just got Formulamatic. And now Garfield is going to look like Garfield like he does now till he's gone. But the early ones are just a gem. It's kind of like early BCs. Yeah, he went kind of religious nuts towards the end, but the early stuff is just funny. And if you can afford to jump on board at the beginning, it's definitely worth picking these up.
Another publisher who we haven't heard from in forever, Comic Mix, which is mostly a website, but they are reprinting all the stuff from, I can't remember what the name of it was, but it started at Eclipse, and when Eclipse went under, they went off on their own. It's Deadbeats, Phantom of Fear City, and Peter David's Soul Searchers and Company. They're putting those out as trade paperbacks. I never got into Deadbeats, which was a vampire book. Phantom of Fear City was okay, but Soul Searchers and Company was hilarious. And it's Peter David drawn by Amanda Connor before she became Amanda Connor. And
What was the name of the lawyers at Wolf and Bird? Yeah, they're in here somewhere, too. I'm trying to find it because they got a book coming out of their early stuff, which is phenomenal. I thought, were they part of the Eclipse thing or the...
I remember them being published by them from time to time. But I would have to dig into it.
I'll keep looking. But they're in here, too, somewhere. We'll find you. Don't worry.
Drawn and Quarterly has a new... Well, not new, but they're reprinting the Dirty Plot, the complete Julie Doucette. And it's $120 for a two-volume box set of all of her work from that series. I liked her stuff, but I didn't like it that much. I didn't like it $120 worth. Normally, I always look at Fantagraphics. But there was nothing from Fantagraphics that jumped out at me this time, which kind of sad. I like it when they've got cool stuff. And it looks like, Joe, do you remember when they were doing those superhero books and we read the first few and went, the hell is this? Well, it looks like they're gone.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because mine disappeared at the Purge sale, so...
What is next that I have?
If you're a Doctor Who fan, the first Doctor Who, featuring the 13th Doctor, will be out. And of course, I'm picking up the photo cover.
Let's see, I'm flipping through here. This is exciting radio, everybody. Oh, Joe, go to page 385.
385.
There at the bottom of the page, the complete Our Valued Customers.
That's the one I was looking for. I had it down, but I did not write down. It's under Our Valued Comics. And it's a daily comic strip based on cartoonist Tim Chambers, his experience working in his local comic book store. Contains the entire run of 1,563 comics. It's hilarious, off-putting, misinformed, and sometimes insightful things said by real comic shop customers. Oh, if only I could draw, I would probably do that as well. Yeah, I had that done. That's the one I was looking for. I'm like, okay, where the heck did it go?
That was a fun strip. I really enjoyed it. And every so often... The old ones show up on Facebook. People print those. And it's one of those where you look at it and you go, yeah, I know that guy. Maybe not that guy, but I know the guy just like that.
I know that one. I cannot find Soul Searchers and Company. I know they have here it is. Exhibit A Press, Supernatural Law. There that's it what is. It's called. Yep. It's on page 343. Anna Wolf, Jeff Bird take a case on which a ghost is literally grandfathered in to a home inheritance. These are basically lawyers for the supernatural. And just outstanding reading. Bat and Lash does it. So anywhere you can find this stuff, it's worth picking up. And this, I think this is this is new material. First stuff they've done in 5 years. Well, it says it's the first graphic novel, so I won't go with that. It's new material, but hopefully somebody who's in the know will call us up and tell us. So, yeah, that definitely should be one to pick up. If you're a Knights of the Dinner Table fan, they're doing Cattlepunk Volume 3. That's where they put a collection of their strips together, and they usually expand them and tighten them up and add some stuff into a complete story. And Yeah, if you know, I can rave monthly about Knights of the Dinner Table, and anytime they do these books and come out, it's always a treat just to revisit the old friends again.
Under Titan Comics, you already mentioned the Doctor Who, but Joe, turn to page 428.
I happen to be on that.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar writing Mycroft and Sherlock. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has actually been a novelist for a while. I've read a couple of his novels. Guy's brilliant. He is a brilliant writer. And I am really looking forward to this one. I don't know if I want to buy it in hardcover, but, and I didn't think, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, writer, but he was on some talk show talking about how he writes. And it was one of those interviews where I don't know a damn thing about him because I'm not a basketball guy. But at the end of the interview, it's like, just keep talking to him. Just keep talking to him. He's very well versed in history, very well versed in fiction and storytelling. And now I'm picking up his stuff. I really like it. Right next to that, they are reprinting the R. Crumb sketchbooks.
Ooh.
These have been out of print for a while. If you're an R. Crumb fan, he basically took his sketchbooks, and it's not like, oh, here are my favorites. No, he just said, well, here you go. Here's the book. Print it. And I am not that big a fan, but I know that people who are fans adore these because you get to see his process. And he's even more twisted than you think. And then Tomorrow's, I always go to Tomorrow's. Let's see, the only new thing they have is Alter Ego 155. Everything else is, well, there's a new issue of Brick Journal, but I'm not a Lego guy. And I think that may be it for me.
That was it for me.
Oh, wait. No, flip the book over.
Flip
the book over. And once I give you the page number, you'll take a look at the page and you will know what I am getting. So let me get the page number here.
All right. I got to flip my book. Flipped.
Come on. I have it marked. No, it's not the Harley Quinn statues. Not that kind of guy. Come on. I don't like how they have this all set up.
I love it.
Well, now it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Joe, go to page 131.
131.
What am I buying on that page?
Let's take a look here. 131. I would bet it's probably the Mage hoodie.
Damn right!
And I was thinking of that too, but you know, for me, I gotta make my Renaissance costume. You know, I've got the Mage T-shirt already; it's sitting behind me. I need a wiffle ball bat that glows in the dark. Okay, I don't think they'll let me bring a real bat into the grounds. Of course, the place is full of swords and stuff, so maybe they will. But I need it to glow in the dark. But anyways, that Mage past and present Bolt hoodie, black. 90% cotton, 10% poly. Yeah, I could see that. That Corey's all over that.
Yep, I am all on that. So that's it for previews. You know who's also trying to sell you something, Joe?
Are they Russian?
No Russians yet.
No Russian
yet.
Yeah.
But if you're Russian and you want to, you could do it like these guys.
That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject: advertising. Thanks.
I'll take Russian money. I'll take anything but Confederate money.
Yeah.
And I will spend it on making more podcasts like these.
The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there! You think NBC will get mad I used that?
And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, no, no. Not where I tell him it's we're stopping at a stoplight and calling a fire drill in the car. It's a Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Well, let's take a look at some of the things I sold. We talked about Top Shelf earlier. I sold a copy of The Man Who Loves Breasts. And no, it's not one of your pornographic smut. This was about Stanley. Story? Nope. This is Stanley, a man who has worked a dead-end job his whole life. And while looking for a way out, he has an epiphany that the secret to happiness is to make a living doing what you love. And he loved breasts. And while the title may tell you what he loves most, it doesn't tell him where the ambitions take him. This book's been, I don't know if it's out of print. It was published in 2008. I had a copy, and it's gone because I sold it on their eBays.
Stanley likes breasts.
Yep.
Well, good for him.
Everybody. No, Stanley. Stanley, oh. Like the guy with the crayon.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. Corey was assuming. Oh, now, we don't know for sure. Stanley may like breasts. We're just not saying it.
Well,
in
I know
this particular
he has. Yeah, I know he has the quote where you're reading comics online is like looking at breasts online. It's better to hold them in your hands.
Yeah, good man, that Stan. I sold a set of first issue specials, and this was a run that we've talked about before in the past. DC did. It's kind of like a tryout book, and of note, they had the Return of the New Gods.
Lady Cop.
Yeah, that was one of the big ones. The First Warlord. First appearance there.
Big ones. No, I don't think Lady Cop was one of the big ones.
Well, maybe. Definitely not the Green Team. A lot of Kirby art in some of these books. There was a Manhunter. There was Starman. Somebody made an offer, and I just sold the whole set and caboodle for them. So that was good. I actually, you know, you talked about Yo. We've talked about Weird Love in the past. No, not the bromance Corey and I have going. It's publishing some of the where were these comics originally published?
They were in the 50s through some of the smaller press companies that have gone out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So
So I sold my run of that, and I thought this was going to the same person, but it wasn't. I sold Justice League of America 136 and 137. This was two of the three parts dealing with a crisis, and in this case, it happened to be going on Earth S. And the one copy of 136 was just in very good shape, so I gave the guy a deal. The other one was the SmackDown between Shazam and Superman way back in 76, and that one had fine shape, so it went pretty good. For all the other fun stuff, you can go to their eBay page, go on Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, go to the website of Solitaire Rose. Corey's put up a link so you can check it out. I will be adding more and more things because, well, you know, I can't give it away. I got to save something for freaking. So, and of course, if you are a listener of this here show and you find something you're interested in, just give me a quick note. I'll give you, let's say I'll reach out here. I got here a set of Mickey as the Sorcerer cards, just playing cards, or maybe this. I got a matchbox. In a matchbox, that's the Volvo container truck. I got all sorts of stuff I can be giving you for freeze.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No.
Bathroom break.
No, not the bathroom break. And no, not where we watch all 9 Puppet Master movies.
Well, I like Puppet Man.
Fine, we'll watch all 5 Trancers movies.
Oh, we can watch all 12 Police Academy movies.
No, oh, it's freaking geeky. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I watched a show on Netflix called How It Ends. It's on one of their original movies. It is a Forest Whitaker is in it. Basically, it's kind of an end of the world thing where something happened in Seattle and our heroes are in Chicago and they are trying to get their way to Seattle. Really, really good movie. I enjoyed it. Until it got to the ending. And I'm not going to spoil it because this is just out on Netflix. And, you know, I want to watch it because you might like. Again, I enjoyed the journey. I did not like the way the movie ended. Even my wife was like, what the hell was that?
Put up with that.
What the hell was it? So, you know, it was that or watch another episode of Comedians in Cars Drinking Coffee. And which we did too. We watched the Jerry Lewis episode where Jerry and Jerry got together. I believe that was Jerry Lewis's last televised appearance before he passed away.
Probably.
So that was actually pretty good. So How It Ends. Go watch it. You tell me how it ends. All right. Time for it. Have we thought of a snappy name for my hip? Is it Hip Watch?
Hip Watch.
Hip Watch. Okay.
Hip Watch.
So.
Yeah.
A couple of things happened in interesting sequence. My chiropractor gave me a note asking that I be put on light duty, which means instead of lifting bags, I just, do whatever I can. Yeah, you know, let somebody else carry them, whatever. Well, it seems that TSA has a thing. They don't give people light duty anymore. I don't know if this is a policy TSA or if it's just a local assholism. I mean, policy. Basically, the difference is light duty is if you get injured outside of work. So if you're in a car accident, you have to have a hysterectomy, you have to have a brain surgery, like a friend of mine did. You use your own sick time. Limited duty is if you got hurt on the job. So, and again, I don't know why TSA is being assholes about it, but whatever. They told me, no, we're not giving you light duty, and you can no longer until your doctor clears you. I said, okay, I went home. That Friday, I didn't go to work because, and the sad thing was, is my coworkers got their asses handed to them. Both, I don't know the exact details, but they were busy almost nonstop. I have no idea. I mean, usually we're busy and you don't hear them bitching about it, but my God, they were like, oh, I couldn't believe it. We didn't get to sit down. It was just nonstop. We were short people. And then I raised my hands and I raised my hand and said, guess what? They told me not to come to work. It just so happened, though, that particular day, he said, yes, your hip cartilage is gone. You are rubbing bone on bone. That is probably why you are sore. My hamstrings are extremely tense. And that's just something the way I'm built, I guess. I don't know. But he said, I got stretches you can use that can kind of help. You can do a cortisone shot, or you can just go ahead and do the surgery. Now, the problem is I don't have sick time to do the surgery because I've been dealing with rheumatoid arthritis. That's kind of chewed up most of my sick time. So I've got to call next week and figure out how the heck they want me to deal with this thing. I don't have the surgery planned. I'm thinking I may end up doing a cortisone shot just in the meantime. I'm still seeing the chiropractor, and it's weird because I go from, like, I leave the chiropractor, I'm feeling fine, I'm walking around okay, I went to the source, and all of a sudden, halfway through it, I can't walk anymore. My hip's locking up, so, and it's just painful. Now, I'm at home, I'm feeling fine, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the podcast, it starts twitching on me, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. And I did figure out if I do go leave without pay, which is, it's looking forward to that, how much money I need to put in the bank, which again goes back to the eBays, because I've been putting on some things on the eBays that I, some of my prize stuff that I wouldn't probably put on eBay, except for the fact I'm trying to get all my ducks lined up in a row. If I do have the surgery, I'm thinking probably after August, because we have our new bid scheduling and I don't trust scheduling to get the bid right. I mean, I can bid by proxy or mail it in, but you know, this is my days off and stuff. You know, I'll suffer a little for that and get it done, and then maybe September, October do it, which is why I probably won't be at FallCon. You know, I told my wife I should just wait and do it at the end of October, because then I know I'll be home for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But you know, some of those people tell me, you know, some people are up in 4 weeks, some people take 12 weeks. It depends on how it goes. So a lot of information going. I did bring a note back to the doctor saying that I'm okay to work, and I sort of am, but you know, I'm sure if you're watching me on the camera, you know, I sit up, I do a bike check, I sit down for 5 minutes, I stand up, do another one, sit halfway through it, up, down, it'd probably be a lot of fun on fast forward to see what it looks like, but that's just the way it is with hips. That's pretty much it. I don't think I need any more freaking. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Work. Last week was insane. Open enrollment is our busiest time. Our numbers were above that all week. Then the group home. I don't know if I told you about this. The Tuesday, I wasn't supposed to sleep there last week. Remember that, Joe? Remember?
Yes, I remember. People applauded. There were cakes. There were celebrations.
Well, they changed their mind. What it was, one of the cottages that only has, 5 people in it, none of whom need stuff done in the night, they couldn't get anybody to work the awake overnight shift there. So they said, Corey, we would like to try an experiment where you will sleep here, you will need to get up and check on the residents a couple times in the night and get up if there's anything. This client has an alarm so that if they fall out of bed, they can hit the alarm and you'll hear it. This client, we're going to put a baby monitor in their room so you can hear if they're asking for help. And the funny thing was, the person who told me said, and this client, you need to definitely be up at 2 in the morning to get her up so that she goes to the bathroom. So my alarm went off at 1:55 a.m., and I checked on everybody, and I went to that client, and I said, hey, time to get up to go to the bathroom. Ignored me. Hey, come on, let's get up. You need to get up and go to the bathroom. Basically, she told me to F off. I'm not going to fight. So I went back, went to bed, and the first, you know, I'm doing it so any sound in the house, I'm up. And I don't know if I've talked about the first group home I worked at, but the first group home I worked at, on the overnight shifts, your job was to stay awake until everybody was asleep, wake up a couple times in the night and check on the residents, and then get them up for school in the morning. So this reminded me a lot of that. And then, you know, I went through and I wrote up because they said, tell us how it went. So I wrote up, you know, here's what worked, here's what I would be worried about, here's my concerns. And they said, well, that's great feedback. By the way, we found out that the client that we told you to wake up at 2 in the morning, we haven't done that with her for 10 years. So that's why she blew you off. Way to keep up. So it was such a great experiment, they did it Thursday and Friday night too. Now this week, they don't have me scheduled at all until the sleep shift on Sunday. So let's see how long that lasts, but we'll get to that in the geeking. So I did not read very many comics. I didn't watch a lot of TV. I didn't read very many books. I basically spent last week recovering. I would get so burned out at the full-time job, and they had us work overtime. I would get home, change clothes, get a shower, because it was, you know, 100 billion degrees outside. And they'd get ready, go to the sleep at the group home. That was my week last week. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, I did read a lot of comics. I already talked about Secret Empire. I finished Hellboy Omnibus Volume 1. This is the first time I'm reading Hellboy, by the way, which is good because I just got Volume 2 in Box Day last week. I did read The Big Empty Life of Alphonse Tabaret. This is the book that came from Lion Forge that I was raving about. In the middle of a quiet, not-so-special clearing in the woods, a wee tiny what's-it woke up without any memory at all. This is kind of an existential fairy tale about life, love, loss, and the search for answers to questions we all ask nobody in particular. I had a lot of fun reading this book. I definitely recommend it to anybody and everybody. So we'll just leave it at that. As far as new comics, a lot of new number ones and stuff going through. I read Doctor Strange 1 and 2. Interesting. I kind of liked where the premise was going, the idea that, you know what, Earth may be out of magic, but I bet you everywhere else isn't. So we'll see how far this goes. I did read Justice League 1 and 2. A lot of this, I guess, was coming out of the crossover event I didn't pick up. I am going to pick this up for a while. I am enjoying it. The art's good. I do like the story. And we'll see how long it lasts. Like every time they do Justice League, eventually they take away the characters I want to see and put in some people I don't necessarily care about. And that's usually what gets my interest to go. Season 4 of Kaiju Max is out through Omni. Xander Cannon doing the writing and the art. Again, absolutely fabulous. I enjoy the living bejesus out of this book. The other seasons are, of course, available at Better Comic Shops and as graphic novels. I did sit down and read The Prisoner 1, 2, and 3 from Titans. We were talking about that a while back. We're not quite sure if it's worked or not. And I guess I am getting into it. I don't know how this is selling, if it's going to be worth another book. But I am enjoying this so far. First issue of The Sentry I read. Okay, I'll give it a second issue. Well, I probably will, because I'm going to... Usually with new issues like this, I'll read it at least up to the sixth issue, get the first storyline going. But it'll be kind of interesting. I don't know. It didn't grab me the way I thought it might, but I will give Jeff and Kim and Rain a chance. The winner of the lot was the Immortal Hulk. It actually put a chill down my back.
I told you. Oh, it was so good.
I am just... amazed and in awe to see where they go with this particular book. And so definitely, if you haven't, run out and get yourself the Immortal Hulk number one, because it's going to be a different type of ride altogether. That pretty much it, reading wise. And I talked TV already. I think I'll leave it at that. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you on the happy side of life?
For the first time in months, I'm not working at all this weekend, other than the sleep shift on Sunday.
Good for you.
I have Friday night off. I have Saturday morning off. I have Saturday night off. I have Sunday morning off. The only thing I have planned is I got invited to a Brews and Bites thing downtown where it's there are going to be food trucks and beers, and it's free admission if you're on the mailing list. I'm on the mailing list. And you get, like, it's five different food items and five different beers with each one. And going to go downtown. It's from 1 to 4, so it's in the afternoon. The weather looks beautiful this upcoming weekend. High in the high 70s. Thursday it might rain, but it looks like it's going to be fine over the weekend. I might be able to go to the drive-in, which I haven't got to do yet. But I have the weekend off, and I'm looking forward to it. I have not had a weekend off in so long that it's like, you mean I could go do something on a Friday night? I could go do something on a Saturday night? Oh, my God. And I think Friday afternoon, I'm going to lose my phone, and I won't find it again till the Sunday evening, so that the work will not be able to call me. Box day was today, so I got the second of the Hickman Avengers omnibuses and the first Grant Morrison Batman omnibus. So maybe that's what I'll do this weekend.
Omnibus.
As well as a new Doc Savage novel, Mr. Calamity. It's over 400 pages, I think, because I remember buying the Doc Savage novels when I was a kid into my teenage years while they were still printing them, and they were like, oh, you know, barely 100 pages. And, you know, back in the, what was it? I think they had to be 60,000 words was the max they were back in the old pulp magazines. Well, now they're not in the pulp magazines, so Will Murray's just kind of, oh, I'll just tell the story as long as it takes. This could be the longest Doc Savage novel I've read. So I'm looking forward to that. I've also got a bunch of crime novels. And today is Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, so much for that.
Oh, I was able to get on. I ordered some movies that are on discount. For books, if you order $20 worth of books and you use the Prime code, you get $5 off. So I pre-ordered a bunch of books that are coming out from Hard Case Crime. I'm very excited. Had a lot of fun doing that. If you go to lifehacker.com, they have the Amazon sales listed there for every day. So I've been using that website to see what the cool things are. I think the best thing is that I saw an SD card, a mini SD card that's 128 gig for $20. So I'm going to be putting that in my tablet and filling that thing up with comics.
Woohoo!
Going through previews, I am very excited about Marvel getting Conan back. If they're, you know, the Conan omnibus looks beautiful. Just looks beautiful. It looks like they're going to treat it right. Ralph Macchio, who was the editor of Conan for a long time, has been asked to come back and consult with them. Roy Thomas has been asked to come back. He has not said either way what he's doing. I also got three more of the Yo books. I finally got the two Ditko Monster book, the Gorgo and Conga, as well as a book called Ditko Shorts, which are a bunch of 1, 2, and 3-page stories he did for Carlton. So those showed up. I have not had time to read them. And this week I am basically going to be not pulling overtime at the full-time job. Not sleeping at the group home. Coming home, I cleaned out the fridge last night because all my vegetables had turned to mulch. But going to be putting together healthier foods and going to the gym. And it won't last. Because the week after is when I start on my regular sleeping overnight schedule, 5 nights a week. Joe, I'm going to be full-time at 2 jobs.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
You know what that means.
More in the money.
More omnibuses.
Woohoo! Yeah, I did get the, there goes the rest of my body. The Infinite Crisis omnibus.
Yes, isn't it pretty?
Oh, it's so big.
Yeah, I think it's more pages than the New Gods omnibus.
Oh my God, he's so big.
I am so ready to sit down with that thing for like a month.
I may have to wait till after my surgery. I can't afford to keep lifting it. I think that's probably what will happen, too, because, you know, I'm on a budget month to month, but then if I happen to have a decent sale or two on the eBays, you know, it's like, well, I guess I can afford to buy it this month, the one I had to skip. Or I could just, like you said, maybe read a few of them. You know, the ones I've already bought that I haven't read yet. That's silly talk.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on about funny books for over an hour and a half.
Thank you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Did you hear? McDonald killed Burger King in front of the Popeyes over that gal Wendy. The funeral's at KFC. I'm going, but I'll probably have to take the subway. I better check to see that it's not Jack in the Box. I'll stop by Carl's. Hopefully I'll be in and out quickly. Hit my music!
Done, bitches!